Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be in Victoria. And as you know, water is a topic between the Australian government and the Victorian government. And so it's good to actually be here because we live in fluid times, as they say. And But whilst I have a title, Water Sustainability in the Murray-Darling, it's clearly that the key issue for my presentation will be the National Plan for Water Security. Why the plan? A series of unprecedented events and the concerning CSIRO predictions about our shared water resources has underscored the importance of making the best of our water resources. With all mainland capitals except Darwin under water restrictions in place, Australians have an increased awareness of water issues. Climate records are frequently being broken. A new historic low for inflows into the Murray for any month was recorded in January at 30 gigalitres, and Wendy's already mentioned that. Farmers have experienced the worst ever growing seasonal inflows. That is the 8 months from June to January, receiving only 660 gigalitres, 40% lower than the previous minimum of 1,170 gigalitres observed in 1983. CSIRO predict that by 2020, inflows into the Murray-Darling Basin will be declining, will decline by 3,200 gigalitres, reflecting climate change, recovery of vegetation from bushfires, farm dams, plantation expansion, and increasing use of uncapped groundwater. This equates to a 15% reduction in the average inflows into the Murray-Darling to 24,000 gigalitres. The drought is registering a national impact, with farm production forecast to fall by around 20% in 2006-07. The drought expected to subtract 0.75 percentage point from GDP growth in 2006-07, reflecting its impact on the farm sector and reflected in industries such as transport and storage. And the expected fall in farm production is close to that experienced in 2002-03. With Murray-Darling Basin accounting for $9 billion in agricultural production each year, something has needed to be done. The COAG water reforms in 1994 and later in 2004 through the National Water Initiative provided the framework for reform and significant progress over the past decade. Key achievements have included separating water access entitlements and land titles. Water markets have been established and are now adding real value through increasing flexibility to irrigators. Industry environmental managers and the process of putting all important water plans in place has commenced, and we have started the process of giving our icon environmental sites hope to the water through the Living Murray Initiative. But progress has been slow, and we need to address some issues and set up the pace of adjustment. So some key propositions facing us in 2007. There are many opportunities to use inputs more effectively, and improving water infrastructure is just one. In a typical year, over 2,000 gigalitres are diverted for irrigated agriculture, and over 2,000 gigalitres diverted for irrigated agriculture was lost in transporting the water through leakage, seepage and evaporation. Irrigated agriculture uses 14,000 gigalitres per annum, and these losses equate to almost 15% of their total usage. In the plan, $3 billion has been directed towards improving the delivery system efficiency. Ultimately, the plan positions the environment and the industry to adapt to this changing climate and sustain production, community amenity and social fabric. The plan aims to do this by improving water use efficiency right through the water supply chain, address over-allocation and improve productivity. The Commonwealth will invest $10 billion over 10 years to secure these outcomes, and I think you've heard that over the last month or so. Now, part of those discussions in the last month or so is the summit of the 23rd of February. There, the Premiers of New South Wales, Queensland and South Australia agreed to a clear referral of constitutional powers to enable the Commonwealth to manage water in the Murray-Darling Basin in the national interest. The Chief Minister of the ACT also agreed to cooperate fully with the new arrangements. There's been some disagreements with Victoria because Victoria has not agreed to refer the powers, but there is ongoing discussions in relationship to that. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. Just a summary of the national plan. Because over the balance of this presentation, I'll discuss developments out of the 23rd of February summit and a number of the specifics in relationship to the plan. In particular, we'd look at the new governance arrangements for the Murray-Darling Basin, the over-allocation, accelerating implementation of the National Water Initiative, the modernising irrigation infrastructure package, and the improved water resource information elements. Firstly, the Murray-Darling Basin arrangements. As has been widely reported, there will be a new independent Murray-Darling Basin Authority. Draft legislation and a memorandum of understanding will be prepared, and there's currently a lot of activity within the Commonwealth to prepare this in cooperation with the states, and with the Commonwealth intending to introduce this legislation in May 2007. So it's a very ambitious program for us to get this legislation drafted and presented to Parliament by May. Parallel to that is state legislation, which will be introduced by the end of 2007. Now, under the referral of powers, the Commonwealth will take responsibilities for key water management functions in the Murray-Darling Basin, including preparing a basin-wide strategic plan, setting a sustainable cap on surface and groundwater use at the basin and individual catchment level. We'll establish basin-wide water quality objectives, set standards for catchment level plans, including for the management and interception of floodplain activities, seasonal allocation of water resources, directing the operation of rural bulk water supply systems, including the development of water environmental water management, which will be also part of a subset of the basin-wide plan, and setting rules for water trading and charging regime. Now, the cap will be developed through consultations with states and the Murray-Darling Basin community, and it will be based on the best available scientific information and socio-economic analysis. In terms of the establishment of the authority, First Ministers agreed to a process for appointing the chair and members of the new authority. The Commonwealth will appoint the chair, and there will be a joint arrangement for the remaining four appointments, with the Commonwealth nominating two members and the states nominating two members. All members would be independent experts and not representative jurisdictions, and these arrangements including qualification of members. Now, one of the important things is this new authority will, of course, be reporting to a single minister. Funding associated with this is $500 million for the new authority, which is additional to those existing resources which are already applied to the Commission, and $100 million for setting the new cap. Part of the modernising irrigation components, which is a major program element for on-farm, improved efficiency of irrigation. This includes a $1.5 billion in Commonwealth incentives to stimulate private investments in improved irrigation methods, providing savings of around 1.5 megalitres per hectare, and $15 million for the development of information tools to help irrigators calculate and more accurately improve seasonal forecasts. It also includes a more accurate metering and monitoring so that we can more effectively match entitlements. $125 million has been allocated to upgrade bulk offtakes, $225 million to upgrade farm offtakes, and $200 million in telemetry and data management systems. And $50 million to cover 50% of the costs of stock and domestic metering in priority areas. In these two elements, we're looking also to a 50-50 share with irrigators in terms of the water savings which can be achieved. In terms of addressing over-allocation in the Murray-Darling Basin, $3 billion has been allocated over 10 years to reconfigure irrigation systems and retire non-viable areas, and assistance will be provided to help relocate or exit industry in part of structural adjustment activities. Any accrued water will be used to restore health of the rivers and the wetlands of the Murray-Darling Basin. But in counter-cyclical nature of water, environmental watering will allow some water to be available to irrigators during dry periods. There's no free lunches in regard to this sort of these dollars. Irrigators must obtain water compatible, meters which are compatible with national metering standards. Irrigators must develop on-farm water saving plans accredited by agreed delivery partners and expenditure receipts required for those payments. At this stage, the development of the program design and the rollout is still very much in its infancy and does require us to be to engage a lot further with industry before any of that is finalised. In terms of funding elements of off-farm, improved delivery system efficiency, we're hoping to lift efficiencies from 75 to 90%. $70 million has been set aside for hotspot analysis to look where prime losses are occurring, and followed by $3 billion work programs for piping, lining channels and system automation. And savings are up to about 1,500 gigalitres per year coming from this initiative. In terms of the conditionality associated with these funds, we're looking for irrigators contributing up to $750 million. Irrigation water providers must develop a system modernisation plan for their schemes to achieve the 90% delivery efficiency benchmark. Irrigation water providers must monitor and evaluate implementation activities to ensure actual water savings are achieved. And we need to accelerate implementation of the National Water Initiative by meeting mandatory metering standards and information provision. We're also looking to ensure that the long-term operation of infrastructure in terms of the new investments and remove any remaining barriers to trade consistent with the National Water Initiative and the adoption of the ACCC recommendations concerning exit fees. In terms of improved river and storage operations, $500 million has been allocated for practical projects to improve efficiency and effectiveness of river operations and also to reduce evaporation losses. In terms of that $500 million, we're also looking to have joint funding with state and territory governments. In terms of water information, this is one of the small unsung significant reforms included here, because water information has been left to linger for too long. We haven't been able to, it hasn't been possible to conduct timely, rigorous and independent assessments of our water resources. It's seriously impeded our ability to forecast for water availability, and there's been a lack of accurate measurement. Has not been possible to estimate how much water has been diverted and how much has been lost. The Bureau of Meteorology is exceptionally well placed to undertake this activity, and it'll hold and manage Australia's water data, report on status and use of Australia's water resources and its forecasting ability, and maintain a comprehensive set of water accounts for the nation and help set standards for metering and hydrological measurements. Being in Victoria, it's useful to perhaps just reflect on why the Commonwealth is seeking a referral of powers. We see this as part of being of national interest. It's a national issue which we're trying to deal with here. Reforming the management of the Murray-Darling will reduce the red tape and delays caused by the current consensus-based decision-making process, which reflects parochial interests, inefficiencies, blame shifting, under-resourcing by state governments, and avoidance of difficult decisions such as implementing the cap on diversions and improving its coverage to deal with groundwater, as well as ensuring it is based on sustainability criteria rather than history of use. The Commonwealth needs a broad referral of powers for the management of water resources in the basin to develop a more efficient and effective set of water management arrangements. Some water management powers will be delegated back to states where it is the most effective and efficient to do so. The concern is that once our investments are made, st- states will divert to their current practices or will not implement the compliance regimes to make a new approach possible to deliver the outcomes that Australians are expecting. Therefore, if states fail to deliver, the Commonwealth needs to have the power, without any fettering, to make sure it can take actions, any action required to deliver the national outcomes expected. In terms of Victoria, there is benefits to Victoria, and we understand it's in our interest to have Victoria as part of the plan. We understand that the national plan will not disadvantage Victoria in any way. However, we do know that Victoria if it does not sign up, the national benefits from the plan will be much reduced and certainly much slower. And that's why we're quite keen to continue discussions with Victoria to try and get them to be part of the plan. Addressing the over-allocation issue in New South Wales and Queensland will benefit Victoria, and that water entitlements in the basin will be more secure and the health of the river systems will be improved. Improved metering will protect users and benefit Victorian irrigators. The Commonwealth will fund on-farm and off-farm improvements in water delivery and irrigation technology that will result in water savings that will be shared with irrigators on a 50-50 basis. We think this is a win-win situation for all irrigators, including those in Victoria. The national plan will benefit Victorian farmers by improving water trading arrangements and enabling a truly flexible, competitively neutral and open national market. It will break down the barriers of state borders and allow water to be transferred across these borders. Commonwealth funding will also be available for major infrastructure projects, such as the Barmah Choke Bypass and associated super pipe to the Goulburn River. The national plan will address the complex issues of groundwater in the Murray-Darling Basin, which hasn't been done before. So we think it's in the interest to have Victoria as part of the plan, and we're keen to continue those discussions with Victoria. So where to from here? As I mentioned before, we're drafting legislation to cover the referral of powers, which should be introduced into the Commonwealth Parliament in the budget session in May. We expect the states will have their mirror legislation introduced throughout the year and hopefully all in place by the end of this calendar year. The legislation will outline the role and functions of the new Murray-Darling Basin Authority, and which will need to be established. And we're hoping to actually have the establishment of authority by the end of 2007, provided the state legislation is in place. Parallel to this, we'll also be developing an MOU with states to cover how the basin will operate in practice. Also, the need to have the basin-wide strategic plan developed. We're conscious that the CSIRO Sustainable Yield Study is currently underway, which will be reporting progressively throughout this calendar year. There's the need to undertake social and economic studies associated with that, and we need to ensure that industry and the regions and the community actively engage as the basin-wide strategic plan is being developed. It's ambitious, but we think we can hopefully have the strategic plan in place within the next 18 months. Overall, we're looking at net savings nationally of 3,000 gigalitres nationwide and 2,500 gigalitres in the Murray-Darling. We need to ensure that as we move forward, we engage actively with stakeholders, because in the end, these savings will be in the national interest. And at 2,500 gigalitres savings in the Murray-Darling per year, this is the equivalent of nearly 17 times the annual water use of Adelaide. So we actually think the plan has actually got a very effective outcome, which is in the interest of all Australians. Thank you.